Now, today is going to be short. It's going to be sweet, but it's going to be impactful. I need my boys to come here, please. Yes, I'm using you for an experiment. It's okay. I love you. I know you're so mad. Why we got to be in the front? Why does daddy always talk about us? But you eat every day, so you're right. Sit right there for me. I need all y'all to sit right there. Listen, I mean, that's what they're here for, right? So the title of today's sermon is Let the Circle Be Unbroken. Not to be confused with Will the Circle Be Unbroken, which is a song by many others, including Johnny Cash. I do like that song. By and by, Lord, by and by. But Let the Circle Be Unbroken is a book, one of my favorite books. And it was written in 1981 by the woman by the name of Mildred Taylor. Perhaps you know her first book, Roll of Thunder, Hear My Cry. That was a book that was part of most elementary school curriculums and probably in the next generation, if some politicians have their way, those books will never see the light of day, but that's another story. But Roll of Thunder, Hear My Cry book about a fictional family, a Black family, who were trying to come of age in the time of slavery and Jim Crow. Let the Circle Be Unbroken was a sequel to that book. And it followed them a little bit older, a little bit wiser, the world a little bit of a better place, but still finding trouble, as we all find trouble in life. The key to the book is that you never hear the words, let the circle be unbroken, in the title. But what she meant by that was she knew that the power of a single unit, a group of people united with a common purpose and a common goal, if they can make sure that what stays on the inside stays on the inside and the bad stuff that's outside doesn't get in, everything will be okay. And she fashioned that thought out of a prayer circle. Stand up for me, boys. Come here. Let's form a prayer circle. Just the three of you, right? Okay. You can hold hands. It's okay. You know each other. Step back. So the theory is, I'm sure we've all had prayer circles in our lives. The reality is what stays inside is protected and loved by the people who were here holding hands, right? But the outside stuff, all the stuff that's bad in the world, all the stuff that causes people harm, theoretically can't get in. Do a better job, guys, come on. Can't get in, right? That's the reality. What are you laughing for? But the understanding is, if the people are united, if the people are holding hands, if the people are protecting their side, then all the bad things will never be able to get in. Right? Sit down. I'll call you back in a second. Yeah, just sit there. You're fine. If you look at our Facebook page, we have one beautiful profile. Does anybody know what that profile is? No? Okay. It's Christmas Eve. Right? At Christmas Eve, the tradition long before I got here is that the whole church gathers around in a circle and everybody has their particular light, right? And it symbolizes the power of letting our light shine, but it also symbolizes the power that we have together, that there's something that unites us and that whatever's inside of that circle, which is love and fellowship and happiness and family and friends, is protected and cultivated by each of us. But also that the things that harm us, the things that can destroy a body of people, will always remain on the outside because we are committed to making sure that that stuff does not penetrate, right? That is the church at Caesarea Philippi. Excuse me. Normally, if you know Paul's letters, Paul usually writes letters to correct churches for the stuff that they're not doing, right? If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, Paul, apostle in chains, all that other good stuff. Why are y'all divided? Some of y'all follow Apollos. Some of y'all follow me. Some of y'all follow Cephas. What's going on here? Or the church at Ephesus, right? Make every effort to keep unity through the bond of peace because they were always scattered and that circle was always opening up. The Being church is different. The beginning, Paul applauds them for the work they've done. And and Paul says he's confident that the good work will follow to the day of Christ Jesus, which means that the good work that started will only continue to get better day by day, and it'll culminate when Christ comes back. That's the image of a circle that we're looking for, right? Something powerful, something special, something impenetrable that keeps us together. Stand up again. I'm getting you exercise today. Now, back to the circle. What makes the Philippian church so great, right? Now, if you remember, we used Philippians 1:6 as our capital campaign slogan, right? And it was really wonderful, really powerful, really unifying. But the key to Philippians chapter 1 is the verse before it. I thank God for your partnership. And the term that Paul uses in the Greek is koinonia. And koinonia means a specific, powerful, intentional Christian community. It's a community where people ate together, where people shared burdens, right? If there was an orphan, he became part of the church. She became part of the church. If there was a widow who needed assistance, it was just as strong as this body. And everything in that koinonia was for the upbuilding of God, upbuilding of the kingdom. But not only that, for the upkeep of life. Now, the U.S. Christian church was based on koinonia. Here's the problem. Go with me, guys, okay? So here I come. He's been here 20 years. He's been here 25 years. And my God, he's been here. Don't you see the gray in his beard? Now here I am. I'm new. I've been here 3 years. Boom, 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 boom. I give my money. I give my tithes. I give my offerings. I'm trying to get in the circle. No, right? I can't get in the circle. Hey, guys. I'm here. God called me to be here, just like God called y'all to be here. Can I get in the circle? No. The problem is U.S. Christian Church, somewhere along the line, went from we to me. And all of a sudden, we became so immersed with our personal individual salvations that we forget to do this. But as God calls somebody here for God knows how long, right? I was in my home church 20 years from birth till I was 20. And when long, we looked at them with suspicion. Like, well, okay. You seem nice. All right, your family seems okay. You give? Oh, you give. Okay, great. Are you volunteering for stuff? Okay, cool. But leadership? Oh, no. Oh, no. The church at Caesarea opens up to everybody. Can you imagine a group of diverse people? Dory. I didn't mean to scare you, Dory. But last Sunday, Dory welcomed me into her home, as she has many times. And now on the outside, Dory, if somebody from my neighborhood when I was a child saw you and I and Tom sitting together for conversation, they would be like, oh my God, what could y'all possibly have to talk about? What kind of, what do you talk about? Right? Because the perception is that people from diverse backgrounds, age differences, differences in sexuality or whatever, can't get along. And unfortunately, that's played out nowhere more than the church. But the reality is, Caesarea Philippi has murderers, gamblers, prostitutes, the equivalent of pimps, whatever that would be called in ancient times, along with good people. But you know what unites them is the power of the cross. Because they heard about a God who loves so earnestly and forgives so graciously. They were transformed. All of a sudden, all the stuff that they used to do, they didn't want to do anymore. So when it came time to join a circle, they looked at each other and said, man, well, none of us are together. We have it all together. So you know what? Let the circle be unbroken. The circle has room for everybody, because everybody's making sure that everybody's okay and that all the stuff in the back, the evil stuff, the selfish desires, all that stuff never gets in. That's partnership. That's koinonia. And in here, God is calling us to make sure we're doing the same thing. Now, I'm new. Stay there. I'm new. You trust me. Well, no, that's not true. Some of you trust me. But that's okay, right? Listen, you know me. I'm from New York. I'm a straight talker. I get the facts out there. Some of y'all trust me. Some of you don't, right? It's some people, it's easy to trust the minister because they've had great relationships. Some of us had difficult relationships with ministers, so it's difficult to trust, right? And that's okay. But the reality is, if we are going to go someplace special, if we're going to go someplace together, then we're going to have to start opening our hearts and our minds to different, right? So, the good work that Paul talks about at this time in the church of Caesarea Philippi, the biggest thing they did was they were one of only two churches who funded Paul's missions. Now, if you have your nice, beautiful Bible, and it shows you all the missionary journeys that Paul does, right? The ones with all the, you have those big Bibles? Okay, if you have one of those big Bibles with maps on it, it'll show you all Paul's missionary journeys. Those cost money. Paul was a tent maker. Not much money. But you know who funded Paul? The church at Philippi. They funded him because they believed in what he was saying. The power of the cross transformed them. So they're saying, oh, well, other people too can be transformed by the power of the cross. So Paul, we don't have a lot of money, but we're going to give you what we have. So that's how the church grows, through that giving, right? But the reality, I'm sorry, see how tired. But the reality is, it only works because they were able to see that the gospel is bigger than themselves, and they were able to open up their hearts to others, right? Show of hands. Anyone ever seen the movie Meet the Parents? Meet the Parents. Okay, Meet the Parents in a 60-second synopsis. Ben Stiller is in love with his girlfriend, wants to marry his girlfriend. The problem is his girlfriend's father is a psycho, right? His cover was he was a florist, but the truth was he worked for the CIA. So he was already skeptical of people. And he had what he called the circle of trust, right? Oh, Anna knows. And the reality was, if you were good and you didn't lie and you could be trusted, you're welcomed into the family. But the second you do something that he doesn't like, or you say something he doesn't like, or you act in a way that he doesn't like, not only are you out of the circle closes around you and you are never able to come back in again. That too often is the church. But going further than that, that's us, right? Some of us have closed our hearts and our minds to people, to things, to places, to possibilities, because they're not what we want, not what we think, not what we like. And what we have done is we've efficiently and effectively isolated ourselves from really great things. My old professor used to say the longest journey is the journey from heart to head. Because though we mean well, there's something up here that makes us skeptical of people and places and things. But again, in the end, we end up missing out on something really, really special. I say it all the time, and I'll say it again. If y'all saw me 5 years ago, I've been in 3 years, you saw me 5 years ago, walking down the street with my hoodie on, with my headphones on and my big sneakers on, you definitely don't think that I'm a minister. Right? Right? No, maybe? I don't think so. I don't think so. I see myself in a hoodie. No. But the reality is, if I took what my community told me about y'all, I wouldn't be here either. Do you see how the perception of what people say and what people do and what people think and how it's visited upon you makes you think and feel things that you shouldn't? So instead of being open and welcoming, coming to the circle, we're like, no, 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 no. But the good work has to be completed. The good work that we've done in here predates me. And there's great work to come. Now, I'm going to end soon because we're going to have a meeting about whatever's different about how we do. But what I want to make sure we understand. Step back. This is impenetrable. And this hand-holding is symbolic of love, but it's also symbolic of trust. The church at Caesarea Philippi trust one another to do the work of ministry and trust Paul to take their money and go and further the church. Love is cool, but just because you love people doesn't mean you like them, right? Trusting somebody is completely different. You guys can sit down. Trust is not believing that I'm not going to let you down, because I'm going to let you down sometimes, Dory. Oh, that's Rose. She'll tell you, I let people down, right? But the reality is, you're not trusting me, because putting your trust in me is crazy. Why? Because I'm a man. Right, Molly? Yeah. I'm going to double book appointments. I'm going to plain forget. I may not be what you need at any given time because I'm flawed. But our trust is not in each other as human beings. Our trust has to be in God. So the understanding is all the things that we're going to do that are hard, the challenges that are coming forward. It's not about trusting Gerald, although Gerald has a very honest face. It's trusting that God brought Gerald to this place at this time to advance the work of the kingdom. God puts people in our lives who may be different, who may think different, who may act different, but the spirit in which they come in is pure and honest. But we can't close the circle off. Because if we close the circle off, then all the beautiful things that come with koinonia are out of the window. What I love about this church is we will always be there when people need. But the survey, somebody wrote in the survey, it's an anonymous, again, I don't know who wrote it, but somebody talked about microaggressions in here. Did you read that? Anybody read that part? Anybody? No? Microaggressions. I don't know. I didn't know. I don't know. And I was honest, I never looked. But somebody said that there are microaggressions in here, which means that somebody feels unloved in here. That to me is heartbreaking. And we can't have that. Now, we can be different. Sure. We can have our own style of doing things. Sure. We can disagree. Absolutely. But as the pastor of the church, I'm saying that no one should feel unloved in this place. And maybe it's a misunderstanding. But these are the things that we can work out together. The church at Caesarea Philippi is blessed. Paul blesses them for their faithfulness, for their work, for their love, for their discernment, for their patience. God has great things in store for us. Great things in store for us. But we have to be willing to love and to trust one another. Now, listen, trust is hard for me too. I got a whole childhood of issues and stuff that I ain't gonna bore you with right now. But I can't trust that this guy, you know, is gonna be what he needs to be because he's human. But if I can trust God to believe that God placed this guy here for all of us, then we don't see each other as just people we see on Sundays, but now we see each other as koinonia. So my prayer is that from this message you get that the person behind you and the person in front of you is intimately related to your spiritual well-being. Which means that this person needs to be communicated with. This person needs to be loved. This person needs to be trusted. This person needs to have the same relationship that I have with people that I've known here forever. And just because I'm here, standing up here, doesn't mean that I haven't been here for 3 years. I've been here 3 years. Some of y'all, listen, Libby saw Joey in kindergarten, Jimmy taught Molly, and God knows there's a whole bunch of connections here, longer than any of us know. But God brought me here to you. I begged and I pleaded and I prayed. God knows how much I prayed, and God brought her. Frank's church closed down, and God brought Frank to us. Liz was at New Hope, and God brought her here. Marilyn was born, and she was here. Lee, too. We are a diverse group of people. Maybe we're not the first person on the invite list to the holiday party. Okay. But when it comes to what God has for us in here, Lynn is important as Richard, and Nellie is just as important as Kim, and Jimmy is just as important as Malachi. So what we do together is what's going to change not only us in this place, but the random person who one day in 3 years is going to show up here lost and find themselves found in Christ. It's the foundation right now. I want to be like the church at Caesarea. I want to be a diverse group of people who just get it. And we are. But there's always more work to do. So I pray that you are as committed to the work as I am. I want Molly to feel loved in here, not just by her family, but by everybody. I want Noah to feel loved by everybody. Because the reality is, we are family. And our children are going out into places where people don't love them. And one day, if my boys don't want to talk about drugs or sex or something, I hope that they can go to Mr. Brian. And Mr. Brian can talk to them about things that they don't want to talk to their dad about. That's where I learned everything. Because my dad was never around. My mom wasn't in church either. I learned how to be a good family person from watching people at church, not from my own family. So I testify to the power of church and the power that it has to do great things. And I know we can do those things together. So whatever we have holding us back, microaggressions, you know, somebody didn't tell me my cake was great 2 harvest meals ago or something like that. We got to find a way to move past that stuff. How do we get on one accord for Christ? Miss Mabel, don't make me laugh. It's true. I know church. Sister so-and-so took my seat, and I don't like her. And I knew people like that for 20 years. They had a problem. Like, over a seat? Really? Oh, her cake didn't taste that good. Well, she brought the wrong salad dressing. Don't she know I don't eat ranch? Like, I mean, that stuff happens. And it's those little things, and we joke around and it's funny, but those little things are what happen. I joke too much. Sometimes I joke too much and Rose gets mad at me because I joke too much. And it's little things, but they're based on truth sometimes. We have an opportunity. I'm telling you, we have more talent in this place than almost every other church in Georgia. Maryland's going to be sweet. That's all right. I'll say it. We got more talent in here than most of our disciples' churches in Georgia. Community Christian Church just closed last week because they were unwilling to open the circle. We're not going to be that. So continue to think about where God has you to be and continue to know that you have a part in the circle and that you can open up that hand and let somebody who may be a little unconventional in. But when you grab hands, you close that circle off and all the ugly stuff doesn't get inside. That's the kind of church that I'm trying to push for, right? I may not wear a robe anymore. I may never wear a stole anymore in here. And I told somebody I may wear sneakers up here. It doesn't change my love for Jesus or who I am. But we need to continue to think about who we want to be. But I know that we can be exactly what God needs us to be together. Let us pray. Lord, we want to be a church without spot or wrinkle. We want to walk through those hard times together. We want to be forged in the fire. Scripture says your love is like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap, which means that there is some burning off and there's some hard scrubbing that we have to do to get to that place. Lord, I think the people who are sitting here are committed to doing that. And Lord, so am I. But we need you. Where we end, where our trust ends, where our faith ends, where our leadership ends, Lord, come in. So that in 50 years, when most of us are gone from this place is still a beacon of light and hope and joy to those who need it. But it's our work right now in the circle that lays the foundation, just like the work 25 years ago laid the foundation for this building. Use us for the fullness of your glory, because we want to be a part of something special. And we want to be that church that blesses ministry and that church that has that good work that will get better and better day by day. So bless us, use us, commission us, call us to be who you've called us to be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.